When we think of maturity, we think of arriving, of completion, of an end point. But Paul is saying maturity is not a destination, it is a pursuit.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we are so glad you're joining us today in our series in the book of Philippians. Now, Pastor Philip, you're talking about spiritual maturity, and the challenge our thinking today is that it isn't so much a destination, but a pursuit.
That's right. Yeah. When we think of maturity, we often think of the end point, you know, when we're perfect and holy. And one day we will stand in glory with Christ and we will be perfect in every way. But this side of glory, we will never be perfect, which means that spiritual maturity is not about having it all finished and all together and reaching perfection. Maturity means you're in process, you're pursuing Christ with this weird blend of humility that knows I'm not there, I'm not 100%, I'm still in process, but also this robust confidence that knows I will be like Christ one day as I yield to the Holy Spirit. This is where I'm going. I will be revealed as a child of God in all of this glory. And so this combination of deep humility that's willing to admit our faults, willing to confess our sins, to be honest that we're people in process, at the same time having joyous confidence in Christ for who we are becoming, that blend of pursuing Christ with white-hot passion, with humility and confidence, that's what spiritual maturity looks like. And that's what Paul's going to show us today. This is who we ought to be when we grow up as mature followers of Christ. This is what we're going to be. We're going to be pursuing Christ with everything we've got.
So not perfection, but a pursuit. Well, let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we go back to basics and discuss Christian maturity. Our text today is Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 12, and we'll go to chapter 4, verse 1.
Who do you want to be when you grow up? It's a question we sometimes ask children, and they respond with the obligatory, I want to be a firefighter, I want to be a veterinarian, I want to be a teacher, or whatever, right? But it's not just a question for children. It's a question for all of us, whether we're 43 or 93, who do you want to be when you grow up? Because, friends, if God has given us new birth by grace through faith in Christ, in his substituted life on our behalf on the cross, if God has filled us with his Holy Spirit so that he is teaching us to walk in his ways, if every moment of every day is an opportunity to be with Jesus and learn from him how to do life, so that we are increasingly transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus. And if one day we will be like him, for we will see him as he is, then we are all, in fact, still growing up. No matter how old we are, we have a long way to go in terms of maturation if we are to be gloriously like Jesus in the end. And friends, all of us, every moment of every day, are becoming someone. So the question is, who do you want to be when you grow up? Today we come to Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 down to chapter 4, verse 1. And in this text before us this morning, the Apostle Paul is going to focus in on what spiritual maturity looks like with three vital insights for us this morning. We're going to see together the pursuit of maturity, the pattern of maturity, and the prospect of maturity. The pursuit, pattern, and prospect of maturity. And if we are ever to grow up into who we were meant to be in Jesus Christ, we need to pay attention to this text this morning. We need the Word of God to guide us. So would you bow your heads? Let's pray and ask the Lord to be our teacher as we open his Word. Father, we're about to open up your inerrant, all truthful Word that is sufficient for life and godliness. And we pray that you would teach us how to live and how to be godly today. We want more than anything to live as we were meant to live, to be and become more like your glorious Son, Jesus Christ, who has enfolded us into his eternal life, who has given us the Spirit to lead and guide us, and who will one day take us home and make us like himself. Father, we long for this. Change us, we pray, in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. So first of all, the pursuit of maturity, the pursuit of maturity. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I just pause for a moment here. It's obvious that we're picking up in the middle of a train of thought, right? It's sort of in the middle of a sequence of ideas. Not that I've already obtained this. What's this? What have you not attained, Paul? Well, remember the context. If you can think back to the last time we were together, Paul said, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain, there's our word, attain the resurrection of the dead. And then he says, verse 12, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. So what have you not attained, Paul? That's what he refers to in verse 11, the resurrection of the dead. He says, look, I've laid down my righteousness here, my religious resume. I laid it all down that I might have Christ and his righteousness alone. And I will do whatever it takes to know him and the power of his resurrection life. And I will do it, whatever it takes, even if it means suffering, even if it means dying like Jesus. If in the end I get more of Jesus, that's a win. If I get more of his resurrection life, that's what I'm all about. And yet, I want to be clear. I haven't arrived yet. I'm not already perfect. I haven't attained the resurrection from the dead. I'm a work in progress, but progress I shall. I press on to make it my own. What? The resurrection life of Christ my own, because Christ, Jesus Christ, has made me his own. I press on, growing in Christ day by day. I press on, I share in his sufferings, and I'm in chains for Jesus Christ. I press on. One day I may face death. I will be buried with Christ in this final baptism in order that I might be raised to walk in newness of life forever with him in glory. I press on. Jesus Christ laid down his life to make me his own, so I press on that I might make his life my own as well. Now, verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says again, just to be clear, I haven't made it my own yet, this resurrection life. This fullness of the resurrection life of Christ is something I'm still running after, pursuing, and it will not be fully mine until I am standing with Christ in glory. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. What lies behind in the context? What lies behind? His religious resume, his self-righteousness. He says, look, I wasted so much time in my life trying to prove to God that I was good enough. I wasted my time on wasted efforts, but I don't have time to pay attention. Forget all that. Forget it all. And straining forward to what lies ahead. What lies ahead? Well, the rest of his life, all of his days, the suffering he's going through, eventually his death, and then resurrection glory in the presence of Christ forever. He says, one day I will be pure and blameless, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Remember that prayer from chapter 1, verses 10 and 11? He says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, look, you want to know what my life goal is? You want to know where I see myself in 10 years? You want to know what my greatest prize is, my highest calling? My highest calling, my greatest prize, my life's aim is to stand before the throne of God, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, transformed into his likeness as a radiant, splendid, glorious child of God forever. And I'm not there yet, but one day I will be there. And so I press on. I press on. Verse 15, let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. He says, look, if you're spiritually mature, you're going to think this way. You're going to be humble. You're going to know that you'll acknowledge that you're not there yet, that you've got a long way to go. But you're also going to be confident. You're going to press on for the resurrection glory that is yours in Jesus Christ. It's this strange pairing of humility and confidence at once. This is spiritual maturity. Humbly acknowledging that you're not there, you're a work in progress, and yet confident in the work of Christ that you will one day stand in glory. And so you pursue it with white hot passion and everything you've got. Those who think they've arrived, Paul would say, well, God will set them straight. Our job is to progress forward, holding true to the real progress we've made, however incomplete that is. Confident that he who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Because spiritual maturity, friends, is not a destination, but a pursuit. Spiritual maturity is not a destination, but a pursuit. This is counterintuitive, isn't it? When we think of maturity, we think of arriving, of completion, of an endpoint. But Paul is saying maturity is not a destination, it is a pursuit. That this side of glory, we will never actually arrive, that we are all works in progress. Oh, we've been justified, declared righteous in Jesus Christ by grace through faith in him alone. Amen? And one day we will be glorified. We will be made perfect in his presence forever when we see Jesus face to face. When he returns or calls us home, we will be glorified. But in the meantime, we are being sanctified. We are in process of progressively being conformed to the image of Christ. And friends, Jesus is changing our lives. There's four key relationships, dimensions of our life that are being transformed through his power. We're being changed up, around, in, and out. Up, around, in, and out. We know God through Jesus Christ. That's a transforming relationship. We are experiencing healing within the family of God, our brothers and sisters in Christ who love us. We are growing in love and inner transformation by the Spirit, and we are going out into the world to change our world with Jesus, to know God, experience healing, grow in love, and change our world. This is what God is doing. And in all four of those dimensions, spiritual maturity is not a destination. It's a pursuit. It's a pursuit. Let me just share this with you, friends. It is a spiritual red flag whenever someone postures themselves as if they've arrived. By definition, that person is spiritually immature. Do you see that? So they're not worth following. Follow someone else.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We are so glad you're joining us today in our discussion about the pursuit of maturity. Now, Pastor Philip, some of our listeners are saying, yeah, I know what you're talking about. We've got people and all they want to talk about is, I've been serving for 40 years. You can't tell me anything about children's ministry, but there's a problem with that, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this sort of, I've got it all together. It's a move away from the kind of humble, receptive, grace-dependent teachability of a person who recognizes they're in progress. And that's actually what we're looking for. When we think of spiritual maturity, you're looking for someone who's actually in progress. And it is a red flag when someone feels like, you know, I've got it all together. I've been doing this a long time. I don't need to go back to the basics, you know? And so there's a danger in this kind of spiritual pride that over-assesses our progress, thinks we're further than we really are, stops learning, stops being teachable and dependent and humble and receptive to the grace of God. Like, that really is spiritually dangerous territory. And that's what Paul's trying to point out here. He's saying, you know, I haven't achieved all of this. I've not been made perfect. I too am a person in progress. And yet you can follow me and follow me reliably because I know I haven't arrived, which is counterintuitive.
Yeah.
But that kind of humbleness is worth following. And it is what maturity looks like. So when we think of spiritual, you know, heroes, people that we want to look up to and follow and pattern our lives after, we want to look for these kind of people who are humble and gentle, who are self-aware, who are regularly repenting, who understand the depths of their own brokenness and sin and are white hot in their pursuit of Christ. Like, that's the kind of maturity we want to pattern our lives after. And those are the people we want to follow. That's what health looks like.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting how the disappointments and even the disasters are used in our lives to help cultivate spiritual maturity? It's kind of like when we get broken down or reminded that we're not all that in a bag of chips, that we grow as a result of it, certainly in our dependence upon God and on our perspective. And I'm so glad Scripture gives us so many examples of this. I mean, I'm thinking Peter, for example, and I know you can think of some.
Yeah, you think of Peter, like when Peter thought, you know, he said, I'll never fall away from you, Lord, you know, and Jesus is like, reality check, Peter.
Yeah.
You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows, right? Because Peter thought he was stronger than he really was. That pride actually put him in a position of spiritual weakness. You see the same thing with like David.
Good example.
David, who served the Lord, slayed giants, he was like, right? Wrote the Psalter. But when he got prideful and he stopped doing what he was supposed to do and he started resting on his laurels, that's when he was in spiritual danger. Or Solomon, who built the temple and then he was on Easy Street and then he took all these, you know, foreign wives and he was disloyal to the Lord. So the patterns are very clear. Like, you know, pride goes before the fall. And, you know, the Scriptures are very clear. Like, if you think you stand, take heed. Lest you also fall, right? So there is an encouragement across the pages of Scripture to make progress in our spiritual walk, but not to grow overconfident in ourselves in the fact that we've reached some pinnacle or some ultimate maturity that we can say, well, I'm done. I can rest now. I've done all the hard work. That is a disastrous place to be. Spiritual maturity requires this kind of repentant, humble, confession-oriented willingness to admit our limits. And that's actually what spiritual health and spiritual maturity looks like.
I'm glad you brought up those two components of confidence and humility. You know, our goal is to pursue maturity, to be Christ-like, but it seems like we're so far away from that. Like, I'll never close this gap on this distance. But then you tell us about humility and confidence have to be components of that.
Yeah. So you need the humility that says, I haven't arrived. That's first part of it. But you also need confidence that what God began, he will complete.
Yes.
Right? And that confidence keeps you moving forward. Because one of the problems you could have is you see the gaps in your spiritual maturity. You grow so discouraged at the besetting sins that you're still dealing with. You wish you had made more progress by now. And so then you start to get discouraged and you think, oh man, well, what's the point? I'm just going to wallow. I'll give up. What's the point in striving ahead? Because I'll never get there. You know, and then you kind of collapse, and that's the opposite error. So you got one error, which is, I think I'm perfect, and so I stop. And another error is, I'm so aware of my sin that I stop. And Paul says, no, spiritual maturity is this white hot, passionate pursuit, striving, never giving up, charging ahead in the grace that God provides, knowing that I'm not perfect, but also knowing that God's going to finish the work that he began. And so it's not wasted.
Amen.
All my two steps forward, one step back, all that give and take, and the times I stumble and fall, get back up, keep going, because there's glory on the horizon and God's not done. And so that blend, I think, is where the health is. I've got humility and confidence at once. That's what the gospel gives me. And that's what spiritual maturity looks like.
Not only does that affect my relationship with God, but it also impacts how I relate to other people in all my relationships. If I have humility and confidence, right?
Yeah, it does. It changes how I think about other people, right? So you and me, right? You and I both can see in each other glimpses of the glory of Christ.
Well, thank you.
Right? We see, yeah. Well, I'm not being facetious, though. It's true. I see Christ in you. And that gives us great confidence, because he who began a good work will carry it on to completion. And we both are humbly confessing our sins before God and to one another. And so it pulls us back from that sort of condemnation, judgmentalism that expects perfection and is demanding and harsh. It pulls us back from that sort of relational toxicity, but it also doesn't allow us to wallow as just commiserating. Well, you know, we both are miserable and we're both dealing with the sin, and I guess it's just never going to get. And so we just kind of hold hands and we sit in our misery together. The gospel doesn't let us do that either. It binds us together in hope of progress in the gospel, but it also gives us humility together, which gives us great compassion for one another. And so that same humility and and courage that helps us in our own spiritual walk also enmeshes us into community and brings health in our relationships as well.
I can't wait. Next time, we're going to look at and explore how maturity is passed from one believer to another. And as we follow Jesus together, we need to be grounded in gospel truth. So this is the last day that we're offering Be Joyful by Dr. Warren Wiersbe. Dr. Wiersbe was a former senior pastor of the Moody Church, and he wrote this very readable, insightful book with readers like you in mind. We want you to get this book into your hands. Pastor Wiersbe helps you see how the Christian life it's a lifelong journey of developing four key attitudes of the mind: the single mind, the submissive mind, the spiritual mind, and the secure mind. When you practice cultivating these attitudes, you conquer the four great joy stealers: circumstances, people, things, and worry. This book will help you take inventory of your attitude and experience the deep joy that belongs to you in Christ. Now, beloved, this is the last day we're offering Be Joyful for a donation of any amount. To request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.